While on a mission to recover another promising mutant and take them to the academy, Cyclops flies in the Blackbird to his destination on the other side of the world. This path is altered, however, by alerts that appear on screen, warning of an unidentified spaceship landing nearby. Arriving at the landing spot, Cyclops is surprised to see a hulking green suit of power armor touching down on Terra Firma. Having landed, the Spartan warrior known as Master Chief observes the X-Man on his HUD. Analyzing the I-beams quickly as a weapon, Chief takes cover and readies himself for battle without even saying a single word. It's Slim Dayspring versus the Bungee King. It's Scott versus John. It's Cyclops versus Master Chief today on
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gabzy, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stakanis. Ray, you've been wanting to use Master Chief for quite some time. Why do you think Cyclops, of all people, of all characters, is a fitting opponent for the very first appearance of Master Chief?
I will tell you right now, yes, I have been wanting to do Master Chief for a very, very long time. And thankfully, the people have been begging us to do Master Chief for a very, very long time. This is a case where my wants and the wants of the people intersect. Now, as far as Cyclops goes, I'm not exactly sure. I said to you, I want to use Master Chief. Is there a very powerful comic book character that we think can kind of match up with Master Chief and can kind of hang with him a little bit and then ultimately lose? You ignored the ultimately lose part, unfortunately.
Sure.
And you gave us Cyclops, who I understand is a very, very powerful mutant. And I'm an X-Men fan, so let's do this.
Yeah, you know, pulling back that curtain a little bit, it's not easy to match up Master Chief with someone who, look, you can find an equivalent here and there. Some people said, hey, let's use a Predator versus Master Chief. Didn't feel that was quite right. Or someone said even like a RoboCop type of character. And I'm like, no, that's not working either. I said, let's go out of the box.
Compared.
Absolutely. Let's go out of the box and come up with a character who can maybe, you know, go toe-to-toe with Master Chief intellectually, maybe strategically, tactically, but also has a very different skill set, power set that they bring to the table.
It is, because Master Chief's going to have a lot of different ways that he can kind of combat situations. Cyclops is kind of a big time one hitter, as far as I've seen in doing a little bit of research kind of for this battle, but that one hits real powerful. So it's just a matter of, you know, how does this thing work out?
Well, you know, when you have a battle that's kind of up in the air like this, and you've got so many different variables and factors at play, you kind of have to bring in a judge who's been there, seen that, and done everything you can think of. So for the first time ever on the Who Would Win show, let's introduce someone you'll recognize from Marvel, DC, and Star Wars films and video games. It's actor and host of the All Over Voiceover podcast. It's Kiff VandenHeul. Kiff, how are you?
I'm great. I can't tell you how excited I am for this matchup, gentlemen. Just thinking about both of these characters and their powers, their limitations, their skill, it's going to be a dynamite, unexpected battle. And I can't wait to see how you guys lay this out. And I'm excited to be able to declare once and for all who would be king of this particular combat situation.
Kiff, you know, I got a chance to check out your reel. I checked out your podcast. By the way, everyone subscribe to the All Over Voiceover podcast. Give it a 5-star rating because that's at least what it deserves. And, you know, you've been in everything. You know, I saw you on Batman versus Superman, one of the pivotal scenes. And the moment I'm like, oh, my God, I know this guy. Totally. You've been in Marvel films, Star Wars films, tons of video games. Tell us why you feel being on the Who Would Win show is the greatest thing you've done in your career so far.
Well, because it takes the body of work that I've managed to piece together and gives me a level of insight. Having been, as you mentioned, doing video game work, I have a sense of not only what the storytelling is and how tremendously in-depth the storytelling is in those contexts. I mean, being someone who spent hours and hours in booths, screaming and yelling things that people will never hear. because it's in the middle of a massive battle, or they never found that specific audio log in Bioshock Infinite. They never got to hear what Comstock had to say. But at the same time, having worked, I do a lot of ADR work, so I've managed to work in Avengers Endgame, and I did some work in, it just came out, Spider-Man Far From Home. So like being able to be a small part of those things gives me some insight into the Marvel universe. And I feel like Cyclops is one of those guys who gets glanced over, no pun intended, because he doesn't have the flashier powers, but he's a leader. And as someone who hosts a podcast, I know what that takes. And I think that's what's going to make my expertise in this particular battle really shine and help us to have a definitive winner.
All kidding aside,
can I say right now, I have been stuck in a booth before yelling and screaming. But thankfully, the manager at the Burger King let me out of the bathroom.
That's great.
It was really a defining moment for me, if you think about it.
It made the news. It was really good.
So you went into the bathroom. Were you recording yourself when you were yelling and screaming, or were you doing it out of frustration? Or were you
This was one I was just doing as a gift for the people.
Oh, that's really thoughtful. What were you screaming? Do you remember?
I'm not really allowed to say it on the air.
Okay, well, that's best.
Communication and explicit warnings.
You know, as we know, with all improvisation, whether it's in the heat of something that's exciting, or even the lunatic rantings of someone stuck in a downriver Burger King restroom, what matters most is that moment lives on in for those people who were there. And it's better to be recounted but not replayed.
That's right. Don't record live shows, everybody. Enjoy live shows. Thank you.
That's right. Keep your phones down. We all want to see Sting, but I don't want to watch Sting through your camera. Just be there. Enjoy Sting.
That's true.
I want to see Sting. I want to see Big Van Vader. I want to see Hollywood Hogan. I want to see all the NWO characters.
That's right.
That's true.
All the swords, all the Lord of the Rings swords. I want to see in person.
That's true.
Thank you.
I love where this is going. What's been your personal favorite, either video game or film, that you've performed on?
My favorite film that I got to work in, I think a lot of people threw a lot of shade on it, but I really love the entire experience of being part of Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. In particular, the Ultimate Extended Cut. There was some stuff that we did where Zach let us improvise in the car watching the Gotham versus Metropolis football game. All the Easter eggs for Watchmen. I've always been a huge Zack Snyder fan ever since I saw the Dawn of the Dead and then 300. And so to get the opportunity to work with him on that project and then to be a part of that particular version of the DCU was, it's hard to put a feeling on it because I'm such a fan of Batman and of Superman and in particular the Frank Miller sort of vision of Batman and Superman. And so to be a part of that is still extraordinary. So I think of the features I've worked on, that's probably been my favorite. Zach, let me improvise on the movie. It was that's a gift that you don't often get.
I love it. You know, all of this just, and Ray, I think you're going to agree, all this adds up to the fact we have a judge that is possibly unparalleled and unmatched in the history of who would win. With that kind of...
right up
of,
there, that's for sure. Right, minimum.
Absolutely. Like I'm so
minimum
hyped for
top
this.
One.
Absolutely. Okay, so we can't get any more excited. With that said, it's about that time. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing the Marvel Universe, the mutant you can't take out in public because he's always making a spectacle of himself, Cyclops. And representing Bungie and 343 Studios, the Space Marine who's seen more teabags than the East India Company, Master Chief.
Well done as always, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. So, Ray, I think I know this one, but which version of Master Chief will you be using?
I'll be using the manga version of... No, I'll be using the video game version of Master Chief from Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, very cool. I'll be using, surprise, surprise, Ray, I'll be using the Marvel 616 version, you know, Cyclops.
Shocking.
Shocking. I know it's shocking. All right, rule number four, the winner of the Who Would Win debate is whomever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. This includes completely destroying their opponent, removing them from the field of battle, restraining them, or knocking them out. The Who Would Win battles are not necessarily death matches. Rule number five, the judge can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. And finally, rule number six, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are a part of the specific character's continuity or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by Who Would Win t-shirts. Accept no imitations. Find the official Who Would Win shirts on Amazon by typing in hashtag Who Would Win. Ray, please give us the details on Master Chief.
Master Chief is a Spartan super soldier from the 26th century. Real name, Master Chief Petty Officer John 117. The Chief first appeared in the book Halo: The Fall of Reach and then the video game Halo Combat Evolved in 2001. He was originally voiced by Steve Downes. John was abducted as a six-year-old boy from his home and underwent Spartan combat training soon after. When he was 14, John underwent augmentation procedures that typically kill or maim over half the children who undergo it. But having passed those stages at the absolute top of his class, he and his fellow Spartans were sent to the front lines of civil unrest to put down the uprising. And that's when the alien attacks began. The Spartans were flung into an all-out war against a combined alien menace called the Covenant, and later had to fight an alien entity known as the Flood. Master Chief was front and center to win all those wars. Fun fact, Master Chief is such a badass that he doesn't even wait until the next video game comes out to wreck people. In the time frame between Halos 1 and 2, Chief and his fellow Spartans destroy an entire Covenant fleet of over 500 ships that were on the way to Earth that would have overrun the planet quickly and destroyed it no matter how much prep time the Earth would have had. That's called overtime hero work. I'm hoping that he got a time and a half for it. That is Master Chief.
Well done, Ray. Here are the details for Cyclops. Now, Cyclops, aka Scott Summers, was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and first appeared in X-Men number 1 in September of 1963. When Scott and his younger brother Alex were boys flying home from a family vacation in their father's vintage private plane, a scout ship from the alien Shi'ar Empire suddenly materialized and set the plane ablaze. Scott's mother, Catherine, pushed Scott and Alex out of the plane door with the only available parachute. The parachute caught fire, so Scott used his mutant optic blast for the first time to slow their descent. From there, Scott and Alex were separated in different adoptive shelters. As the years went by, Charles Xavier found Scott and brought him to the Xavier Institute, where he was trained and given the name Cyclops. Scott's leadership and tactical abilities were quickly noticed, and as a result, became the second in command of the X-Men. Since then, he has led the X-Men, fought against the Avengers, become a mutant outlaw, and has been hunted by anti-mutant villains his whole life. In terms of mutant power, Cyclops has the ability to shoot concussive blasts of energy from his eyes. This energy comes from another dimension, and Scott's eyes and own psionic energy act as a portal from which the energy can shoot through. To focus the blast, Cyclops wears a quartz visor that enables Scott to not only focus, but also target his blast even further. And here's an interesting fact about Cyclops. Did you know that he used to be a professional DJ? It's true. Years ago, when the FBI forced the X-Men to disband, Scott Summers chose a career that didn't exactly line up with his personality, and he became a DJ. Fortunately, Cyclops' career as a DJ was short-lived, and he resumed his full-time career of superheroing, is I guess what you call it. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Do you have any questions before we get started?
My first question is, what format did Scott Summers DJ? I mean, was he on like smooth jazz or top 40 or metal, or was he a party DJ?
I believe he, oddly enough, he was a party DJ. Like, not a party DJ. He played, like, pop music.
Of weddings and things? Okay. Oh, he played pop music. So he's like, so he was sort of like a Ryan Seacrest.
Sure. Yes, exactly. Maybe.
I already possibly. Like the way your head's thinking right now. If we can't beat Ryan Seacrest, what's going on anymore?
I know. That's right. Well, I'm not liking this because I don't like how you're associating nothing against Ryan Seacrest. He's great, by the way. But, you know, you're associating anyway. All right. So, Ray,
I will say, just not to give Ray any false confidence, I will say it's very, very difficult to be a top 40 DJ. And I have to give Scott Summers a lot of credit for being able to not only land a job at a high profile radio station, especially coming from hero work. But then to be able to not only start a party, but keep it going, you got to give it up for someone who can keep a room bouncing.
You know, it's one thing to destroy like alien enemy troops with advanced tech, but to land a DJ job at a New York radio station, the way you describe, I mean, that's kind of crazy, right?
Pretty impressive. I don't know that it's more impressive than stopping the flood. This is going to be a tough face off. I'm ready to see what happens in round one.
All right, Ray, hit us with point number one. Let's see what you got.
Point number one. I just want to talk about how John became Master Chief and the process that it entailed. Because John, growing up as a six-year-old kid, was living a fairly normal suburban life. You know, he went to the grocery store with his parents and he had dinner with the family and he was living the standard dream until his super skills, his physical abilities just sort of got the whim of the evil organization, if you will, who abducted him out of his house and started engaging him in combat training at the age of 6 years old. So he was trained in all kinds of forms of martial arts, as well as leadership, as well as battlefield techniques, as far as weapon usage goes. A six-year-old is being taught all of these things. Now, this leads us up to the age of 14, where Master Chief was already kind of far and away, kind of taller than all the other kids, even the ones in the Spartan program. So he was sort of seen as like, this kid could be the one. So they're sort of just like, and it wasn't that they were leaning into him to try to like give him undue advantages. They were just like, yo, we got to make sure we do it right this time. And do it right, they did. So they put him through the augmentation process, which you think about like what happened to Wolverine. It's sort of like that, but probably a little bit worse. They essentially imbue them with the super serum, but it's a super serum that murdered, I believe, half of the people that took it, and then a handful of others got maimed and crippled and couldn't like walk anymore as a result of this thing taking over their bodies. What that results in, though, is that he has a Captain America level beginning to begin with. So as opposed to Captain America, who started as a very scrawny person and got the super serum to become big, Master Chief was already pretty big, like an athlete, like an NBA style athlete kind of big, who then got the super serum to become even bigger and more crazy powerful. He also got his skeleton basically painted with this sort of metallic steel that is extremely powerful. What does all this mean? It means that he starts with a 15 times than normal strong skeleton. So his bones essentially will not break. They will hold firm under all kinds of power and damage. His reflexes have been augmented to 300% of what they were before, allowing him for super fast aiming, super fast reaction time, and super fast dodging. Additionally, he has the superpowers essentially of heightened endurance. He's got tremendous eyesight. He's got an excellent memory, as well as a hyper intelligence. This thing actually boosted his brain. So he had received all this sort of soldier training to make him a great leader of men. And then on top of it had like that brain pill from that movie, essentially, and becomes even freaking smarter. Limitless. Thank you very much. This all allowed him to defeat the insurrection, the flood, and the covenant in various games or various stories circling around the games, including, you know, beating an entire fleet of Covenant. As I said before, that's a pretty impressive thing, given that it was going to overrun and destroy the Earth. That's our starting point with Master Chief. And that's my point number one.
All right. So I have to admit, I'm not super familiar with Master Chief. I've researched him, and again, super impressive character. A couple of questions. He's got extreme durability, right? Are we talking about he can take falls from great distances? He can get hit with a lot of, you know, enemy fire? And
what I would say is he's basically sort of a Captain America level. So think of him like that. He might even be a little bit more potent than Captain America, but at least he's in that ballpark before he starts getting into his tech.
Okay, very cool. I don't have anything to kind of dispute about those points, because it sounds like everything you said is exactly the same thing that I've researched and seen. An amazing character, great backstory. I love how they tie in the Spartan kind of methodology of training, taking him in at six. This sounds like a great character. I do know that after this battle, I'm going to start playing Halo and having a lot of fun with that.
I recommend it. I mean, I think about like this government that took him in, you know, because he's part of like, I believe, the Navy, basically the Space Navy, if you will, the Space Force, if you will, which means that he was abducted by the bad government people. And his initial purpose, there was no aliens that they were fighting. So he was abducted to put down insurrection, to put down civil unrest. They essentially took these wild super soldiers and sicked them on union labor. That's not cool. And it's just a weird wrinkle to the story that completely gets sidetracked, you know, when the aliens attack.
That's a convenient sidetrack. Just putting that out there. But I like it.
I think his trajectory went to a much happier place fighting aliens.
I think so. Okay, let me get to my point number one. Let's just talk about powers here. Let's just get to it. Cyclops is optic blast because, you know, that's his main power, his main method of attacking, although that's not his only one, as I'll explain later. Okay, here's a cool thing. Cyclops is optic blast. It's not like a heat beam or a energy beam of destructive energy. It's a concussive force. So it hits hard. That's his whole deal. It's not something that's going to, like, you know, melt something, but it can destroy something and tear something apart. Here's the deal. His ability comes from his mutant power of being able to tap into the energy of another dimension, as in all of the energy from another dimension. So it's limitless. His eyes, using psionic energy from his own body, act as portals to this other dimension. And he has the ability to summon as little or as much of the energy, like I said, as he wants, depending on what he needs at the time. Again, this means he never runs out of power for his optic blast. So if he wanted to shoot them at full power for an hour, that wouldn't be a problem. So what can Cyclops do with these blasts? Well, he's got perfect control of them, which I'll talk about later. He can make them as small or wide as he wants and can easily control the amount of force he emits. Cyclops himself, and remember, this is an extremely humble individual, feels that his blasts are strong enough to rip a small planet in half. And to make things even more insane, his optic blasts travel at the speed of light. Somehow that works. Again, it's a comic book thing. His range is also insane. His Cyclops can take out airplanes, missiles, and attacking, you know, large sentinel robots that are a mainstay in the X-Men, you know, comic books, that are huge King Kong sized things that come after the mutants to, you know, capture them or destroy them. And he can take them out from miles away. He can make his blast wide enough to take out a series of buildings or to blast through and completely obliterate a mountain. His beam is so powerful, and this is the crazy part, he was able to cut through Wolverine's adamantium bones and completely sever one of his hands, something that was actually previously thought to be impossible. Adamantium, of course, being the most durable metal in the, you know, Marvel Universe. Wolverine, by the way, describes Cyclops' power as having a nuke inside of his head. And you think Cyclops is all big, powerful, and destructive blasts, that's the only thing he can do. He's actually a master creating beams of tiny widths to act as like super powerful daggers to cut through objects, as well as opponents supposedly with invulnerable skin. He's cut open the Hulk. He's cut open, done some damage to the Juggernaut. But there's one character known as the Blob, who is skin that, you know, was thought to be impervious to everything from bullets to missiles to any type of energy attack you can thought of. And that was his mutant ability, that, you know, he was just impervious to those attacks. So in one encounter, the Blob confronts Cyclops and tells him there's nothing he can do to hurt him. And Cyclops looks at him and then shoots a very thin optic blast right through the Blob's shoulder, with which he tells Blob to take that as a warning. When it comes to destructive power, range, and unlimited energy, Cyclops may have the best energy-based attack of all. And that's my point number one.
And there's a lot of good stuff right there. And this is the Cyclops that I know, the Cyclops that I love. He's kind of the wet blanket of the X-Men, because he's forced into a leadership position that he's maybe not the best at, but he's trying really, really hard and doesn't know any other way to be. But those I-beams hurt, and those I-beams hurt a lot. And in this battle, the one thing that I'm worried about are those I-beams. Thankfully, I am really of the belief that Master Chief is going to be able to dodge the I-beams and be able to get around it, because I think he could tank some. I think his armor, and we'll get to the armor in one of my later points, I think his armor could tank the I-beam, especially if Cyclops, not really known for trying to kill people a whole heck of a lot like some of the other characters we've had. I can see Cyclops using a ramped down version of the I-beam in this battle, at which point I think Master Chief is perfectly safe doing it.
Kiff, before I have you come in and kind of give your analysis of point number one, 2 points. Number one, Cyclops is known as one of the best leaders in all of Marvel Comics. He's right up there with Captain America, and that's something Captain America also recognizes. Number two, Cyclops actually, it's not that he enjoys killing people. It's just that if he feels it's the right thing to do, he unloads and absolutely kills people. He's done that a number of times where literally he'll blow people absolutely body parts off. He'll destroy people completely if he feels that's what is needed at the time. See, here's the thing, Ray, you're right. He's kind of that wet blanket, but he's also very cold and calculating when it comes time to killing his opponents and unloading destructive power. So with that being said,
I'll give you some credit there. No, I'll give you some credit right there, only because I'm so used to the James Marsden version that nobody really cares for. No, right. We love his portrayal of the character, but that character is kind of a yutz, you know? So,
I agree.
That's really what I'm kind of leaning on for that point. It is true, though. Tactically, he does a lot of very good things.
Cool. All right, Kiff, what are your thoughts about point number one so far?
boy, this is a tough battle, guys. As you both know, as I said, I have to set my fandom aside. First off, you know, when I look at Master Chief and how Rey has broken it down, is, you know, he's really putting the weight on his badass backstory. And without a doubt, you know, if you look at any Spartan trained person, they're going to have certain consistencies in terms of whether they're plucked away from their family at a young age. They have to go, you know, as in 300, go fight the wolf and come back a man, all these type of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like what's being described with Master Chief, along with being someone who's come from a difficult set of circumstances and rose to the challenge, but essentially it's like Captain America doping, you know, without having it's he said augmentation. So like there's so many of these points from, and as original as Halo feels, it all just felt like, oh, well, that's a Wolverine thing. Oh, well, that's a Captain America thing. Oh, well, that's kind of like Hulk there a little bit, you know? So, like, not to say that he's a derivative character, but I do feel like there's aspects of Master Chief here where, if I'm going straight up power, and in particular for this point, whether it's backstory versus the optic blast, I gotta go for Cyclops in this round. I feel like what the case that's been made with Cyclops's ability and his control over it really changed the way I thought about the character. I mean, I've certainly read my share of X-Men comics, but I read it for Wolverine. I read it for Nightcrawler. I read it for Beast. It was kind of like, oh yeah, Cyclops is there and he's super powerful, but kind of who cares? But the way James, you told Cyclops' story and the full extent of what his powers are capable of, it changed the way I saw the character. And for that, I got to give the points to you.
I got to agree with you on something you said. I think so many people sleep on Cyclops, because when you look at backstories, his backstory is cool, but it's nothing like Master Chief's backstory. And when you look at his power set, it's cool. He shoots beams out of his head. Well, that's not as cool as of a power set as so many other mutants and superheroes have, you know, and what have you. But when you really research what he can do, it starts to get a little scary. And when you start to see what he's done, which I'll explain later, that makes him even kind of more menacing in a really weird way. But I'll leave it at that. Ray, go ahead and hit us with your point number two.
Point number two, and I want to talk about some of the weapons and equipment that Master Chief brings to the table, because we've already sort of established, and my point, you know, baseline point I wanted to make is we start with a Captain America level character. Now we put him in super powerful armor and give him super powerful future tech from the 26th century. Which, what does that mean? That means that Master Chief walks around with his MASC assault rifle. He walks around with his battle rifle. He walks around with his M90 shotgun. Now, the shotgun in particular has rounds that are so big and so devastating that they have been banned on Earth. These are weapons that just nobody, you know, I'm sure the freedom-loving people of Earth would love to have their overly extended shotgun ammo, but the government of this world has said, no, that's a little bit too much, because this thing puts holes in buildings. It is a walk-aroundable shotgun that puts holes in buildings. The battle rifle, if you've used it in the game at all, you'll know. The first shot takes somebody down almost all the way. The second shot kills them, just straight out. And let's not sleep on the fact that Master Chief, as the first point might have, you know, intimated, has been trained in marksmanship and is an excellent, excellent shot. Not just that, he's also rocking a sniper rifle. So one of the advantages I think Master Chief has in this battle is if he's able to take it to long range. And I absolutely believe that he can. Cyclops is going to need to get it to within medium range to not, if not close range, in order to do the things he needs to do to bring down Master Chief. But Master Chief can fight at a very long range using his sniper rifle or using some of his, you know, vehicle weapons and technology as well. Master Chief has an M41 rocket launcher on top of everything. Not to mention, if the battle gets up close and personal, he has the M6 Spartan laser, the most powerful thing in his standard assortment, which is basically a heat-based weapon. Because Scott Summers, you know, he's got control over his own heat vision in a way, only because, you know, it's pulled from another dimension and he has a special thing which allows that type of interdimensional heat to not bother him. But how would a very powerful sun-like laser getting shot at him at point-blank range feel? I'm going to guess it's going to hurt him just a little bit. Not to mention, he's got some active camo and an overshield. He always walks around with a force shield protecting him at all times. So that first shot that Scott Summers, aka Cyclops, is going to shoot at him is going to get hit by the shield and absorbed. And that shield regenerates every 5 seconds, which means that Cyclops is going to have to do a lot of damage in a repeated fashion. One lucky shot with the Cyclops optic blast is not going to be enough. He's got the active camo. I said it before. That means that he can basically make himself invisible if he wants to and can move around the environments and be seen through because he refracts light away from his body. But not just that, ladies and gentlemen, because he ended up later on in the Halo series, they ended up working with the Covenant, which brought them some extra weapons. So you've got the bubble shield, you know, you've got the laser sword. And that's the big thing I want to talk about right now. We could talk about the Needler as well, which hits you with a whole bunch of little like porcupine stings that then blow you up when you get hit by enough of them. That's cool. I want to talk about the energy sword because this is a 4-foot energy blade that you hold. It's a double-sized blade that sticks straight out. So think of it as a modified version of Worf's Klingon weapon, but it can be held in one hand and shoots 4 feet forward. That is a deep range if this thing actually gets itself into close combat abilities and close combat quarters. He has a 4-foot energy blade that cuts through everything. Like, think of it as a lightsaber. And he's walking around with it, and he's not a master at this weapon, I do have to say and be truthful about that, but he has used it enough that he has some proficiency with it. So all of these weapons together give him a wild assortment of abilities and tactics and ways that he can go about this battle, whereas I see Cyclops really having to rely on his one trick. That gives Master Chief, who's as good a tactician, if not better, than Cyclops. He's leading battalions of men into battle all the time and winning those battles against impeccable odds. He's got more that he can do. He's got more in the toolbox, and that's going to prove victory for Master Chief today. And that's my point number two.
Some interesting points, but I got a few little tidbits to add into this. First of all, Cyclops is actually used to really super advanced tech. They deal with advanced alien tech a lot. There, I mentioned the Shi'ar Empire, right? And this is a large warlike empire that has taken control of a huge part of some galaxy. And the X-Men have a lot of interaction with the Shi'ar Empire. They've used a lot of that technology. They've gone up against a lot of that technology, as well as technology from other advanced, you know, civilizations in space, and also future tech from, you know, many centuries into the future, you know, from Cable, Bishop, and other characters who come from the future to the present. So it's not like this advanced tech, as great as it is, it's not that he's going to be caught by surprise by the sophistication and the diverse level of weaponry he's got, because, you know, he just needed to do that for some reason. My favorite part about all this, though, and this is kind of the X factor, all joking aside, he actually can absorb energy blasts. Now, he's got this genetic thing where if his brother Havok shoots energy blasts at him, Cyclops can actually absorb that energy. He's also absorbed energy from Storm's lightning, actually absorbed the lightning completely, although it did cause him a great level of pain. So it's not like an energy blast is going to take him out completely. That's about it.
I would actually argue that point just a little bit, just because that is specifically to his brother. And they do have like kind of a connection where each other's powers really don't work on each other. And to your point, though, the Storm lightning thing did decimate him. Like, he survived it, but he was not in great fighting shape right after he took that shot.
He was actually just he experienced pain, but he it wasn't that he tanked it. He took it and he was still able, you know, he was weakened a little bit, but he was still able to continue on the fight. Ray, to your point number two, here's what I'm going to bring to it. Let's talk about the intangibles and the fighting experience of Scott Summers. So, you know, Cyclops, he's an amazing leader, as evidenced by the fact that he was either the leader of the X-Men or another group of mutants called X-Factor for most of his career. He's considered an alpha level mutant threat level. Now, an omega level, which is the top one, we've mentioned this before, is some type of mutant that can, you know, possibly threaten the planet. I believe alpha level is continental, which means his power can somehow affect at least, you know, miles and miles of area. Also, he's considered to be one of the top fighters in the Marvel universe, which is really weird and hardly mentioned, but it's often referenced, obviously, with an X-Men comics. Cyclops also has an insane amount of training in martial arts and unarmed combat. And this is what's really cool. He holds black belts in judo and aikido. And these styles are important because they're based on using size and strength of the opponent against themselves. Because, as you can probably figure out, he's used to fighting opponents bigger and more powerful than him, which means punching, kicking, or striking won't really be of much help. Like, I don't think he's going to punch or kick or strike Master Chief in a way that's going to really be that effective. However, his level of skill is sufficient to defeat. He's defeated 6 normal men with his eyes closed. And he has in the past held his own in just fighting against opponents like Captain America and even Ghost Rider. To clear his head, this is a really cool part, he went to what is called the Savage Land, which is like a prehistoric island that still exists. And he fought a herd of raptors just for the hell of it, because he's like, hey, this will just kind of get my head in a good space. So let's talk about who Cyclops has taken on and defeated. He's beaten Quicksilver, one of the fastest characters in Marvel Comics. He's taken out the Beast, who has super strength, super durability, and super agility. He's taken on and defeated the Juggernaut by slowing him down with Optic Blast and then taking out the ground underneath him. He's beaten dozens upon dozens of Sentinels that are King Kong-sized robots programmed to either capture or eradicate mutants. Here's one of my favorite ones. When an enemy placed an illusion over Cyclops to make him look like the Phoenix, who is that super powerful opponent that all X-Men understand, you know, is you got to take out with extreme prejudice, Cyclops had to fight and defeat altogether Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Storm, and Rogue, all while having broken ribs. He took them out using tactics, strategy, and of course his Optic Blast, as well as some well-timed martial arts until he could lift the illusion. The question you got to ask is, put Master Chief in the same, you know, situation, how's he doing against Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Storm, and Rogue? And here's my favorite one. He took on World War Hulk, arguably the most powerful form of the Hulk there was. And World War Hulk, was coming after Professor Xavier. Cyclops put himself in the way to save him. He unleashed a super powerful optic blast that started slowing down the Hulk and was peeling away large chunks of his flesh and ripping him apart. And sure enough, the Hulk survived it. But at a later time, when asked why he didn't use more power against World War Hulk, Cyclops revealed, and this is crazy, that he didn't want to kill the Hulk, but just to stop him because he felt bad for him, which means maybe he could have actually stopped World War Hulk. You know, while Master Chief has some major victories and more than valid battle experience, it actually pales in comparison to the breadth of experience Cyclops has with opponents from the Marvel Universe, as well as the overall power level opponents Cyclops has had to overcome. In short, Cyclops has faced a much wider variety of opponents that are much, much, much more powerful than Master Chief has faced. And Cyclops still comes out victorious. That's my point number two.
And still, look, you've got a lot to pull from with Cyclops. You would ask the question, how would Master Chief do against those characters with broken ribs? I would say very, very well, because his ribs won't break. So he'll actually be at a better starting point and he'll be able to take out all those people with his advanced weaponry as well as the tactics. You know, you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the one-on-one battles, and Cyclops often fights as part of a team. You conveniently like to leave that out when you mention a lot of these battles. But Master Chief is the team. That's the whole point. You know, alpha level mutant is a very, very powerful mutant. Some would even argue that's where Iceman probably should be. What I would say right now, though, is that Master Chief and all Spartans, and he's the best Spartan, but all Spartan warriors are known as having, when they tried to figure this out, like how powerful are they? They considered them to have the same level of damage ability as an entire sector fleet. That is an entire fleet of ships and everyone on board. They think one Spartan warrior, and Master Chief is even better than that, is that that's the kind of damage and power that they can do. So yes, while Master Chief has, you know, he's fought some big monsters out there and he's fought some very, very dangerous foes, he hasn't fought, you know, the Juggernaut. He hasn't fought World War Hulk. But what he does is often fights 40 brutes at the same time, brutes that can just like rip a man apart without even thinking about it. And he flips them over with his intense strength. And these guys weigh a metric ton apiece, and he flips them over like they're flapjacks. He punches holes in the sides of spaceships, which are designed to protect against the power of space. So when you talk about power, I believe they are definitely equivalent. And if anything, Master Chief has an advantage there. That's my counterpoint.
I totally agree that punching something that is going to protect you from the power of space is just as powerful as the Hulk coming at you. With that being said, Kif, you've heard points from both of us. You've heard point number two from Ray and myself. You were now at the turning point, and this is where you have to decide which character is ahead and what does the other character have to do to pull out the victory.
This was a tough round, guys, because, you know, as Ray was laying out the case for Master Chief's arsenal, along with his battle acumen, the image to me in my head was a combination of you know, tech plus Goliath. And you kept adding things, and I was pretty hardcore for Cyclops coming out of round one. But the list of all the options that he had at his disposal, the options that he has and the ways that he can change things on the battlefield just to give himself a fighting chance, I think that knowing Cyclops's history of who he's battled, how he's overcome them, his power, his empathy, his strength, his martial arts skills, all those things definitely give him an edge up close and personal. But I do think I don't want to undersell the power and skill that Master Chief brings to the table. It's not just guns and weaponry. It's a knowledge of how to use them. And if you've played the game, as I have, and when you put Master Chief in my hands, I'm incompetent as Master Chief. But we're talking about Master Chief at his best. And in that respect, I have to give this particular round to Master Chief. So I'm at a deadlock in terms of how things are moving forward. Or who's behind and who needs to catch up. My feeling is after this round, in terms of the variety of methods that Master Chief has to dispatch or at least stop and remove from the playing field, Mr. Summers, what I need is, I think, more about brains and strategy in terms of who would win each other almost in a game of chess. I think physically they're both managed. I want to know who's going to outsmart the other.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, go ahead and hit us with your point number three. Let's see if you can pull this one out.
Point number three. I want to first off talk a little bit about the Mark VI Mjolnir armor that Master Chief wears, because a lot of these feats and things I was talking about in the earlier point number one, that's a completely unarmored Master Chief. That is Master Chief, you know, if he was on the football field wearing pads. Master Chief, when he wears the Mjolnir armor, is a cut above, because to my understanding, Cyclops wears blue spandex. And I'm sure James can elaborate this in his counterpoint, but Master Chief wears state-of-the-art, some of the best armor physically possible in the 26th century, the Mark VI Mjolnir armor. Now, the Mjolnir armor is over or right around 1,000 pounds. So you have Master Chief in his armor weighing 1,237 pounds, but he's able to walk around wearing armor that's over four times heavier than he is because of his massive strength and ability and his training with that armor that allows him to move very gracefully and jump high up in the air and turn upside down and shoot people at a whim whenever he wants to, because this is the kind of power that he's bringing to the table. Now, it has also in it titanium alloy, which makes it very, very difficult to damage from any kind of physical weapons, as well as a heat resistance to it, which I think is very important. Now, you said before Cyclops does not use a heat-based beam. I was sort of planning on that, so bad job me. But I will say that I do believe that this type of armor is definitely the kind of armor planning to be hit by something like what Cyclops is in fact shooting. He has a motion tracker inside of his armor. Now, one of the really cool things about this is it kind of projects what he wants to do before he does it. This is part of the way that he's able to wear it so effortlessly. So in the middle of a battle, the armor can actually kind of see and believe and kind of on a psychic level almost feel what Master Chief is about to do and then start doing it before Master Chief even starts the motion in motion, which means that if somebody's shooting at him, his already super fast reaction time is made, boom, even faster by the armor itself, which is just absolutely fantastic. Not to mention the fact that there is a HUD. As a game player of Halo, you would know that there's a HUD, which means that he has all kinds of battlefield information from a map of the area, the special targetings on his different people that he's fighting, to how much ammo he has left. He has all of this right there on his screen in front of him in the helmet that he can rely on for battlefield information that Cyclops, to my understanding, is not going to have that kind of access to. But the big thing that I want to talk about here is the fact that HUD is great, but Master Chief has an ace in the hole named Cortana that also lives inside his system as well. Cortana is a super smart, super sharp AI. So big, in fact, that Microsoft made it their Alexa in the real world we live in today. That's Cortana. She came from Halo, everybody. How exciting. Cortana is an advanced AI that can give in the moment suggestions of actions and ways that Master Chief can go about his battles. It can use its kind of skills. And I don't really know exactly how this works, but she can like open doors and control machines, and she can go off and mess with things. So if Cyclops is trying to use any kind of device, Cortana can go inside, intercept it, and shut it down. Not just that, Master Chief already great tactician, and Cyclops already great tactician, but what Master Chief is able to have is an AI presence that knows him very, very well, knows his capabilities, knows what he can do, and can on the fly suggest different battle plans based on information that Master Chief wouldn't even have normally. And that, I think, as far as tactics in the chess game goes, Cortana's going to put him a cut above where Cyclops is, allowing him to take this battle from Cyclops. And that's my point number three.
I have a point of order with the bringing up Cortana, because I love Cortana. She's one of my favorite characters in the Halo universe. But my concern is she a fair aspect to bring into this conversation? Is she a separate entity? Is it fair from the standpoint of Cyclops being able to bring another X-Men to the conversation? You see,
I do know where you're going, because we do not allow outside interference as part of one of these battles. However, it has been established in some other battles before that an AI, for example, Exo Manowar in a battle that we just had a very impressive AI, and then Iron Man as well in that same battle. Yeah. Both had AIs that they were able to rely on in those battles, and those were fair game and on the table. So I have to believe, given that the precedent's been established already, because Cortana is a part of his armor and the armor is considered part of his gear, and she's not technically alive, I have to believe Cortana's on the table for this battle.
Okay.
That's a great point that you bring up. We've used it. You know, the way we kind of look at this is, if they were in a regular battle situation, what would they have on them as, you know, part of their everyday attire or accoutrement or weapons or what have you, or systems? Take them out of that, put them in this battle, they would have all the regular things. So I do actually think Cortana would be in the game with this one.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Thank you very much. Let's hear point number three from James.
Okay.
Actually, you have a rebuttal. Do you have a rebuttal to
raise? Well, thank you, sir. I do have a rebuttal. That's very... Okay, so here's the thing. As powerful as the armor is, as durable as it is, it's nowhere near as durable as adamantium, correct?
I mean, they're two different universes. It's hard to say. I would honestly give a slight edge to adamantium. I think that is a fair statement.
Okay. And Cyclops has already done what many people thought was impossible, which is slice through adamantium when he cut off Wolverine's hand and, you know, sliced through the bone using his optic blast. Right. So I do think Cyclops would get through that armor. I don't think he would, hit it once or twice. You know, I think the armor could take once or twice, you know, some powerful shots. I'll give it that. But I don't think it's going to stand up 100% to the optic blast. Second question, Master Chief, he has a healing ability, correct? It's like faster than regular, but it's not Deadpool or Wolverine like, right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
Okay, great. And then last one, I know a Master Chief is super strong, and I think I read somewhere that he can lift up to five or press up to 5 tons, correct?
At least, yeah. I mean, he's able to do some pretty good strength feats. Typically, he's not just out there lifting weights. He's picking up entire tanks and giant monsters and flipping them over his shoulder. That's sort of how he rolls.
Okay, gotcha. So then compared to, say, Colossus, Juggernaut, or the Hulk, who can lift like 100 tons, they're called Class 100, he's nowhere near as powerful as they are. Not to take away from his overall fighting ability, but in terms of raw power, he's nowhere as strong as those characters, correct?
No, I mean, let's face it, the Hulk is in a world on his own.
There you go. Okay, great. Okay, so one of the ways, let me get to my point number three. One of the ways that Cyclops has used his optic blast before, other than just to try to, you know, point blank look at someone and take them out with a powerful blast, he's actually been very creative in his methods. Now, one of the really cool ways he defeated Wolverine got up close, Cyclops just got kind of ticked off and used, remember, it's a concussive force. It's not a heat type of thing like what you just described, right? He used his concussive force to use battlefield removal and just hit him and let the beam take him miles away and just battlefield remove him immediately. It's something he's known for. He's creative with his beams or his blasts, and whatever he needs to do to win, he'll use his strategy. Remember, this is a tactician beyond compare in the Marvel universe. He is known for being, that's one of the reasons why he's such a great leader, because he can make a quick analysis, figure out what to do and take advantage of the situation and make it work. Now, of course, he's known for many things, such as having a bad personality, not caring enough for his teammates, amongst other things, but he's got actually a serious reputation for something else. It's for the fact that he doesn't miss. And this is something that's also seriously overlooked in comic books when people talk about the overall effectiveness of Cyclops. He's got almost a superhuman ability. Actually, it is a superhuman ability to calculate trajectories on the spot and on the fly. He's the king of the bank shot, able to bank his optic blasts off of up to like 12 things in order for it to hit its target. In fact, even Captain America marveled at Cyclops' ability to bank his optic blast off things, which is interesting because that's exactly what Captain America is known for with his shield. He can also hit shots using different levels of power, one right after the other without skipping a beat. For example, he needs to blast a blast that's powerful enough to take out a missile that's miles away, followed by a blast that's as precise enough to take out someone's gun that they're holding without hurting them, and then fire a blast that's strong enough to stagger the Hulk. He can do all of that one right after the other without skipping a beat. And this crazy ability, again, is for trajectory calculation, which is actually listed as superhuman on the official Marvel Wiki. But in the last couple of years, things have gotten even more interesting for Cyclops and his master marksmanship. So he's got kind of an upgrade. Up until recently, he was only able to shoot his optic blast directly in front of him and then bank it off whatever he was needed to bank it off to hit targets that were, you know, behind him or what have you. Now he has the ability to swerve his blast and to make them curve. In other words, he can change the trajectory of his shots without having to necessarily bank them off anything. So if he needs to fire and hit something behind him, he can do it easily now. If he needs to shoot around an object to hit a target that's miles away, like a long distance curveball like effect with his optic blast, it's not a problem. In other words, his concussive beams can now bend, weave, and arc in alternate directions. You know, they spiral around the core blast and making his new optic laser even harder to dodge. It's kind of like how Darkseid uses his Omega beams. It's a completely different animal, I get it, but he can actually make his Omega beams go after the target if the target starts moving away. So he's now got a similar, lesser than, but similar ability to do that. So here's how I see this battle going. Master Chief and Cyclops square off. They start firing at each other in a high caliber and high powered way, designed to feel each other out and see what the other person is capable of. Master Chief won't know what to make of Cyclops immediately because, you know, he doesn't encounter, you know, mutants or people with that kind of power set. But Cyclops will have a pretty quick understanding that Master Chief is a superhumanly powered being wearing body armor based off his movements alone. Master Chief sees that Cyclops is a definite threat and decides to up the firepower and unloads a merciless attack. Cyclops takes damage, no doubt, but finds a way to give himself a couple of seconds of breathing room, but also quickly analyze the tactics, strategies, and firepower of Master Chief, which he's done to the Hulk, to Colossus, to Wolverine, and a number of superpowered opponents. Cyclops quickly realizes he faced off against much worse and comes up with a really great plan. Cyclops unloads a superpowerful optic blast in Master Chief's direction. Master Chief barely evades a shot. Cyclops continues the onslaught with one optic blast more powerful than the next, keeping Master Chief on the defensive as much as possible. And just as Master Chief finds the opening and takes aim at Cyclops, he gets hit from behind by a super powerful, super focused optic blast that shoots through the back of his head, through his helmet, through his brain, and completely kills him. In a very hard fought battle where Cyclops definitely takes damage, he would come out ahead and use his killer instinct to take out Master Chief. Remember, he's pierced armor that's in metal that's way more powerful, the adamantium, than what Master Chief is using. And Master Chief doesn't have that healing factor to come back from a horrible brain shot. And remember, he's used his optic blast to cut through impervious beings before, like the Blob and the Hulk and what have you. So with Cyclops' amazingly powerful optic blast that can take out a mountain or be used with scalpel-like precision, his experience with fighting and defeating Wolverine, Colossus, the Juggernaut, Sentinels, and the Hulk, and with his ability to calculate trajectories and now swerve his optic blast and control the mid-flight to make him an even better marksman, there is a great case to see why Cyclops wins this fight. That's my point number three.
I think you're stretching quite a bit there, James. And bless you, you got to go for it in point number three. But the question I have for you, does Cyclops have any regenerative ability?
He does not. He's wearing a flexible Kevlar suit, but he does not have
Kevlar suit. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not like spandex, like you mentioned before, but it's he does not have a regenerative healing factor.
So he's basically out there with as much defense as a member of the Michigan militia is basically what I'm hearing from you.
I don't want to put down anything from the great state of Michigan, so we'll leave it as that.
Okay, I just had to make sure because you keep, because Master Chief does have some kind of powerful armor with great defenses. He's got an overshield that protects him against energy blasts and can, you know, definitely knock them down before taking 5 seconds to regenerate. And, you know, Scott Summers is, of course, limited in the way that he can shoot with his eye beams. He has to shoot forward. Like, he can't just turn his eyes to the left and shoot to the left. He does have to line up his shot physically, which absolutely makes it a little bit a harder animal. in order to put together, whereas Master Chief can jump and do flips in the air and shoot from all variety of angles.
Here's the thing. You would think that way, but that's why, number one, he's got this master, and again, the superhuman ability to bank shots, to calculate trajectories on the fly. Like I said, he's banked off of 12 different things to hit his target. But now with his upgrade that he's had for a couple of years, he's actually able to swerve his shots and shoot around objects and actually make his optic blast change direction to follow the target wherever they may be going.
And I think that's, and here's the deal. That's great. I think that's absolutely wonderful.
That is great. Thank you.
In a fight against Master Chief, though, when he has Cortana kind of helping him along and telling him which ways to go, and he has the physical abilities to stop, you know, mid motion and turn because Cyclops is about to pull off a shot that Cortana can see coming, because that's a mechanical device that you've just talked about on his head that's helping him make those shots, isn't it? Which means that Cortana can have a little bit of power and a little bit of knowledge as far as it goes. Not just that, but Master Chief has fallen from orbit and landed on the Earth or landed on the planet below. He's done that twice, and both times he just stood up and kept going. That's the kind of inhuman, ridiculous endurance that the character brings to the table and the armor that is protecting him along the way. So a regular dude with no regenerative ability wearing a Kevlar vest, these are apples and oranges, except the apple is 300 feet tall and the orange is a regular orange getting squished by the apple. To posit really quick how I see this battle going is, I think Scott Summers is going to get off the energy shots, and I think he's actually going to hit an optic blast or two that are going to be absolutely at least muted by the overshield and maybe knock him down. But he's going to realize real quick what's going on and what's happening. Cortana's going to work her magic in the optic blast device that Cyclops wears on his head, and maybe not necessarily shut it down entirely, but at least give enough forewarning to Master Chief when these shots are about to happen. Combined with the fact that he has the reactive armor and Cortana at the same time, he's going to be able to dodge pretty much all of these shots and go flying through the air in all manner of ways, shooting at all manner of angles, the grenades, the weapons, the Spartan laser, all these other shots that he has. And eventually he's going to knock down Scott Summers, and he's going to beat him with his fists. He's going to beat him with everything else, with his shotguns, but he's going to defeat Scott Summers with the butt of his gun to take that final bit of health off. And then he's going to stand over him, and then he's going to kneel over him, and then he's going to stand over him, and then he's going to kneel over him, and Master Chief is going to win this battle.
I got to ask, does Master Chief, like, does anything affect him in a negative way to take away health during the gameplay?
Yes.
What is that? What are those things?
He can take damage. Now, the cool thing is, we're talking about a bad player like myself, or Kiff, as he's admitted earlier, playing the game. Master Chief could absolutely be defeated, but we're talking about the canon character of Master Chief, not Ray plays Master Chief, thankfully.
All right. Ray-splaining again. I like it. All right, Kiff, you've heard both sides of the battle here. It's time for you to give us your process. Tell us, who do you think wins this fight and how?
Here's pluses, and then I'll go down minuses. First, pluses, I mean, you just can't understate Master Chief's extraordinary options. Not only his AI assistant with Cortana, all the way through all the different options and proficiencies with the weapons that he's both issued and that he is able to find on the battlefield, you know, not to mention the Ghost, not to mention the Warthog, the different vehicle options that are available to him. He truly is someone who can take whatever's thrown at him and navigate it. And again, based on the canon character, there's really no other badass like Master Chief in the entire universe. In fairness to Cyclops, you know, I walked away from this experience. I walked in with an experience thinking I was going to get sort of a namby-pamby, jealous sort of superhero who's got one trick, and that's really it. And I have to give not only James credit, but I've got to give credit to complexity, the diversity of what Cyclops can do, and it really changed my perspective on this character. And I'm embarrassed of my comic book ignorance when it comes to Cyclops, or a character I've known for such a long time. I have to give him a lot more respect. In terms of negatives for this conversation, or the things I would take, not necessarily negatives, but things I would take away. You know, Ray, I noticed in your last breakdown of the entire thing that you didn't say Cyclops once. You kept referring to him as Scott Summers. You kept talking about Scott as this regular dude who, if he fell from orbit, why, he wouldn't have a chance. He's just a guy in spandex, or just a Kevlar vest. Well, I think it's been proven pretty successfully that he's much more than that. In fact, when he first got his powers, he fell a tremendous distance and then was able to use his powers to soften his blow. And while he doesn't have the strength necessarily, a coated body or the power of a physical power to be able to withstand a fall from orbit, I do think that Cyclops would be okay if he fell from orbit and probably walk away from the fall as well. I think that it's a mistake to underestimate. It's easy to underestimate Master Chief's ability to anticipate problems on the battlefield, anticipate all the different challenges that he might face. There's a real thinking, breathing, intelligent warrior underneath all that armor and underneath all those gadgets. And I feel that James might have overlooked some of the tactical experience and skill that I believe to be present in Master Chief's experience. But ultimately, when it came down to this final round, you know, I said going into it that the thing that was going to make the difference here is going to be how these two characters think on the battlefield and how they move forward into their inevitable conflict when they face each other. And I didn't feel like Master Chief's story was coming from an armored place, from a defensive place, and certainly underlying his badassery. But one of the things that was mentioned about Cyclops is his creativity and how he is able to not only face different opponents with different challenges, but really to match them in a different way, in an equivalent way to how Master Chief uses his arsenal. And while this battle was very, very close, and I would not have expected this at the outset of our conversation, but I have to give the win to Cyclops for this particular matchup.
What? Unbelievable.
I'm in shock right now. I am in absolute shock right now. The Colt Cortana point should have won it by itself based on your desire for a chess game. This is outrageous.
I got to tell you, when I had to, and I have to, like, you got to rep the both characters, both your own and the other one, absolutely fairly. And when I was saying, yeah, Cortana is absolutely going to be a factor in this battle, I kind of like sat back in my chair and said, I may have just lost this whole thing. Ray brought up some insanely great points. As much as I hate to say it, he brought up just points that kept taking out Cyclops over and over. I got to tell you, I'm surprised by, but very happy with this outcome. Ray, what are your thoughts on this?
That's what James says when he knows he should have lost. Kiff, I love you. You're so great, and you have such a great knowledge level. You make me second guess myself now, but I know I'm right because hashtag Ray is right. I believe I met the challenge. I believe I expressed to you in many different ways how Master Chief would win this battle. And again, the fact that Cortana was brought up when you said you wanted to know smarts wise and cleverness wise who would win, I gave you a freaking AI against a guy. I don't know what more I had to do here.
Well, I don't know what more you could do, Ray. I thought that you did a spectacular job laying out the case, but it was about where does he get those wonderful toys? All the toys, everything that's available to Master Chief. And I'm not taking away any of his intellect and his skill in terms of that. And certainly Cortana covers the basis for that, but also what Cortana does more from my experience with Cortana is, hang on, let me see if I can open that door for you. Hold on real quick. Let me see if I can check the lights. There's no life forms ahead. Chief, look out. Duck. Oh, wow. That was a close call, Chief. Hang on. And then a little bit of playful banter. And I feel like in terms of what Cortana brings to the table, as much as I love her, I also feel like she's a glorified Alexa. I don't think that she's going to do in terms of the necessary situations that someone who is undergunned and under armored is going to face against that person. And I feel like Cyclops has proven time and time again in situations where he's been the perceived underdog, he's been able to rise to that challenge and exceed that challenge by his wits. And I think that's what's going to make the difference in the battlefield.
You know, Ray, can I bring something up? There's a point that I actually have to agree with you that you brought up where you said Cyclops is actually at his peak fighting, you know, competency or ability when he's part of a team. And when you said that as well, I sank in my chair and said, oh, he's right. You know, his biggest wins, the most impressive things he's done has been when he's part of the team. Quick question. How does it feel to know that I actually agree with many of your points, yet you still somehow lost this battle?
I knew you were going, you're trying to dig the nail a little deeper. What I would say is, you know, Kiff, hey, Chief, I've noticed that your enemy is wearing this headset that controls his one form of attack. Would you like me to turn that off for you? Yes, I would. Thank you. And this battle's like, what are we talking about right now? I am enraged. I am disgusted. I am shocked.
That is an Independence Day solution. You don't know how the optic blasts are controlled by Scott's psionic ability. Is that correct?
That's correct. And also he's got a, it's more of a mechanical than a, like, you know, technological kind of thing. He uses his hands to press a button or to toggle, literally physically toggle the width of the visor. So it can go lower or bigger, wider, shorter. And then he also has something on his hand. Yeah. So it's not like it's a robotic kind of thing that can be taken over.
I don't feel like Cortana would be able to dive into the headset and knock that out. It feels that's like Jeff Goldblum using his Apple laptop to give the Independence Day aliens a virus.
You mean like the way that she bypassed security on a completely alien and foreign ship she's never been on before? I'm just saying.
But at least that technology is at least consistent. I mean, we're talking about trying to hack an analog sunglasses.
That's right.
That's a little bit different.
Have you ever tried that, Ray? It's not easy.
I'll be honest, I've tried it. It didn't work. Let me go ahead and just for the people at home on Twitter and Facebook and all the social medias. I'll go ahead and compose this tweet for you right now. Go ahead and just put this in the box. I thought this was a spectacular battle. Do not agree with the winner. Send. That's all you need. I expect to see a lot of this. I'm expecting to see a lot of this on Wednesday and Thursday. That's fine. Here's the deal, Kiff. You made your decision. We all have to live with it. We're good.
Kiff, I got to tell you, I'm really surprised, but again, really impressed and a little thankful that you saw that Cyclops was the winner on this. I want you back on the show. You were fantastic. And it's really cool to, have someone on the show that you're a big fan of also, you know, support your character and give you the win. So with that being said, Kiff, please tell everyone where they can find you.
All right. If you want to protest my adjudication in particular, you're welcome to hit me up at KiffVH on Twitter and Instagram at KiffVH, KIFFVH. And my website is kiffvh.com. And there's my video reels, my demo reels, my voiceover reels. You can contact me there as well for classes and that kind of stuff. If you're interested in learning about VO work, my podcast is called All Over Voiceover, and you can find it where all good podcasts are found. You can also visit the website, which is allovervo.com. If you're interested in getting voiceover or learning more about the people who do it, I made the show for you.
It's a fantastic podcast, by the way. Again, I can't say enough how great it is.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm getting ready to teach an online class for Second City. At least I'm pitching it. So fingers are crossed. I can't announce, but it's in the works. If you, play Spider-Man, I'm one of the Sable soldiers. I'm in there. I'm on IFC telling you about what time movies and TV shows are coming up, and several games coming out next year that I look forward to launching and sharing with folks.
Very cool. All right, Ray, well done yet again. I know you're a little bitter, but I got to tell you, I really think you did a great job this time with Master Chief.
Oh, I know I did. I know I did. I know I crushed it this week, and that's what really makes the hurt that much more. Where you will not be finding me is my continued presence as president of the Kiff Van den Heuvel fan club, because I am officially resigning that post right now. How dare you, sir? You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Almighty Ray. And what I would say is also listen to Knowing Is Half the Podcast, the G.I. Joe recap show, where we talk about 80s and 90s cartoons, because I want to think about that right now and not this travesty of justice. Hashtag Ray was robbed.
Ray, I look forward to coming back and being able to listen. You only lost by 18 points, so that's it. Really
cool out of 15.
Out of 15.
How dare all of you right now? This is disgusting.
Oh, I love it. Sorry, this is great. And you can find, I'm just giddy because it's been a while since I've won. You can find me posing my patented question of the day on Twitter at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show and check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our podcast episodes. On behalf of myself, Race Decanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.